Boy, I tell you, that song just picked me up pretty good.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm on the right road, you know. And sometimes it's been pretty tough, it gets tough, but the Lord's always around. Like when I call out, He's always there.
Yeah.
And, no matter how low you get, He's always able to reach down and get you and pull you back up, seem like a little bit. I sure appreciate the opportunity to come and appreciate Brother Jeff lining that up for us. And I had a thought that come to me a few weeks ago, and still it's there tonight, so I guess I'll go with that. And I've learned the hard way to, when the Lord says do something, you need to do it that way. But I appreciate everybody here coming out tonight. It's pretty cool and damp and all of those things. But I'm glad you still have the love of God in your heart enough when you come out. And had a good service this morning. We went visiting this morning. I didn't have an appointment, so we went to Rolling Hills in Glasgow, Missionary Baptist. And Regina's uncle goes over there. Well, I guess he's my uncle, too. I'll claim him a little bit, I guess, But anyway, we had good service up there. They did, and I thank the Lord for that. And I understand y'all had good service too. So just pray for us tonight. My voice—I don't know. I wish it was a little stronger, but maybe it'll hang in there. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with us, I'm going to read a little out of 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, and we'll go from there. And that's just a starting point, really. And I sure hope that the Lord will help me and bring it the way that He wants it to be brought out, because. If he doesn't, I'll surely make a mess of it. But I did want to say something, too, before I get started. We've been coming over here on Tuesday night for the Bible study, and Brother David's been conducting that, and he just amazes me. I tell you, I thank the Lord for letting somebody have knowledge enough, to be able to study that out. I've always said, especially when our kids was young, if I couldn't preach it to them and bring the conviction that was needed through the Spirit, that maybe He'd send somebody that could. And He did. He sent somebody. I believe he's helped Brother David. To be an eye-opener, if nothing else, So I just want to tell the church here at Hilltop, I appreciate y'all doing that. And it's been a blessing. I'm going to start in the, let's start with the 12th verse of that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll try to read the rest of the chapter, maybe. He said, "For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommonly parts have more abundant comeliness, if I can get that right. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Or all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, have all the gifts of healing, and do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. That's reading the rest of the chapter with my mistakes there. And so it's pretty plain to me, and I think most everybody, that the Apostle Paul was saying here that just plainly or basically that everybody was needed. Yeah. And I would say that probably there was maybe an issue with that at the Church of Corinth at the time, the reason why he addressed it. And so pretty plain there to me. And I really wanted, and I thought, and this thought come to me, I'll tell you where it was at. I went up a few weeks ago, New Year's Eve service they had in West Virginia, and this thought come to me. And I pray that the Lord would just help us again. But everybody's needed and everybody's important. Sometimes, I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes I have a pity party, I guess you'd say, and I feel like that I'm useless or, you know, that I can't get to where I'd like to be and do those things that I would like to do. And sometimes I cry on the Lord's ear, you know, and I complain a lot, you know. And I try not, sometimes I don't mean to be a liar about it, but sometimes I put on a face, I guess, you know, so maybe everybody couldn't tell what's going on the inside. I don't know if y'all do that or not, but you know, sometimes it shows. And sometimes you can look at somebody and you can say, what's wrong today? You know, what's bothering you? You know, and so sometimes we get to feeling that way. But really, you know, and I want to talk about a body. And more particular, I guess, a nobody. Sometimes I feel like a nobody. And, you know, that's what brings on that pity party. Of course, the devil helps me out. And he convinces me that, yeah, you're right. You're just nobody. You're sorry. You just can't do much or nothing. And the more he talks, the lower I get. And so before long, I'm in pretty bad shape, you know, and I'm in a hole. And I want to talk about a nobody. And who can be a nobody? Well, really, anybody could be a nobody. I mean, you know, and really, everybody could be a nobody. I mean, if you think about it. Now, you know, if Brother David, and I tell you, he had it pretty straight the last two or three nights, Tuesday nights, you know. But you know, I was having to think, man, I'm trying to comprehend all of this. And I told Brother Marty the other Tuesday night, I said, how small do you feel, you know? But I'm saying we all can get in that position. The devil can get us anybody or everybody. He can make us think that we're a nobody, you see. And the thought was, it came to me, nobodies are nobody with God. That cheered me up, you know, because so many times here in the last 6-8 months a year, you know, I've had those feelings come and go, you know. And I tell them sometimes I'm up and down like a yo-yo, But really, on the inside, I'm somebody. And that's going to be my thought. And I'll go through the other parts in the Old Testament there where that somebody thought that they was somebody. And God made them a nobody so that he could bring them down, if you would. And then he took somebody who might be considered a nobody, and he made him somebody, you see. I was nobody when I was lost. I was nothing, you know, but he made me somebody, you see. He took me and he made me somebody. And what would that somebody be? A child of the King, you see. He made me one of his, and I am somebody. Even in the flesh, nobody's a nobody. Even the lost man, you see, you have a purpose in this life, if nothing else, so that the Lord can see you out and save you too. Really, God took somebody and made him a nobody. If you go in the Second Chronicles, and I think some of this is recorded in Kings too, but there's a king over there by the name of Jehoshaphat. And this is in the 19th and 20th chapter where this is recorded in Second Chronicles. Jehoshaphat was, Asa was his dad. He was a good king. And Jehoshaphat, he was pretty good. He has it up. He was up and down. He was a yo-yo too, I guess. But he found himself in this 19th chapter. He made some mistakes. It said, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Daddy used to tell us, and I guess he was right, but from time to time he'd tell us that we'd gotten too big for our britches. When we thought we knew more than we actually did, or some of those things that when you was growing up I did anyway. I'd find myself thinking, well, this is the right way. This is the way it ought to be done, and it really wasn't. So I would put myself in a position too high. That would kind of put me back into a reality there. He'd made a mistake. He said here, the seer came and told him, he said, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? It's one thing, and I truly believe that the lost portion of the world, God wants us to love their souls. But to take up with them and to take after them and do those things that they do, I think God is displeased with that, and to become an ally or a companion to people, there's a lot of people, they'll give you the invitation. We're going down here and we're going to drink. Wouldn't it be sort of foolish if you knew that was their intent? You go down there and join up with them and have a few. Is that pleasing unto the Lord? No, it's not. The Lord, He'll have the last say on that. I feel like He'll whip you up. If you don't get a whipping every once in a while, I'd check on things. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's all I can do to keep myself straight. And Jehoshaphat had messed up. And he said, that's what the preachers are for in the world. You know, people have this ideology now that the preacher's a bad guy. I'm not looking for sympathy tonight. That's sure not what I come for. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't preach these things if the Lord didn't lay it on our hearts. And that's the same way with Brother Jeff and these other preachers. Because God wants us to do and be the very best. He wants us to be somebody and not just a nobody, and nobody does nothing, or very little. He wants us to be a light to this world. And you join and become an ally like He did, confidence is going to go down. People are going to look at you different. And he said, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. He messed up. But the Lord still loved him. And he said, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. You know what? It's one thing to mess up. It's one thing to make a mistake. Then it's another to do it again and again and again. To be a repeat offender, when we know better and the Lord lets us know that that's not right, why would we go and do it again and again and again? I don't know about the rest of you, but I'll confess tonight, there's been things that I have thought in days gone by that I think again from time to time. And He does. He whips me up, I told you once before not to go there, not to think that. But I appreciate it, Now, I think that Jehoshaphat thought that, at this point maybe until the seer came that he was doing okay. That he was somebody. Maybe he got the big head. Have y'all ever done that? If you haven't, you're better than I am. The old devil. And I tell you what, preachers, he'll jump on you, won't you, from time to time. There have been times when he said, man, that was good. you did a good job today. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I did. And I get out and I start to the house, get about halfway home. And then I begin to think of things I shouldn't have said. Well, why did I say that? Where'd that come from? And before I get to the house, lots of times I'm thinking, that wasn't too good, really. And then he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. He said to the judges, take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. And man, he had gotten back in shape a little bit, hadn't he? When he went out to get the people and brought them back. You know what? I believe the old church, that's what we need to be doing. Go out and get them, huh? We've lost so many in the last 25, 30 years, maybe a little longer. I think about them, I pray about them. Those that I grew up with, a lot of their families are out in the world, and their children, grandchildren, lots of them haven't been saved. I think maybe we ought to just go out and make contact with them again. Bring them back. The Lord brought him down, and he knew he was in a mess. He knew that he was doing very little for the Lord. But he did say, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with our Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Hey, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that are in it for the money. You know, for the prestige, for the position. Those people who think they're somebody, they become nobody in God's eyes. He can't use somebody that's up here on top all the time, thinking they're good. That's not what he wants. He wants somebody he can use. He wants us to be humble, submissive, under subjection. That's hard to do when you're up here thinking, hey, I'm good. I'm one of the best. All the time. He'll bring you down. Have you ever fell off your horse? I have. It's a long ways to the ground. But that was the shape that Jehoshaphat found himself in. And he knew that after a little while. Down in the 20th verse, I think about sometimes in the old devil, does he do you that way? Does he ever tell you you're getting too long? Used to, I thought, man, he always told me that was too short when I first started out. Now he says it's too long. Sometimes you say you're too quiet. Then sometimes you say you're too loud. But that's his job. And he's good at it. But let me tell you, there's one better than he is. It came to pass after this. Read a little out of the 20th chapter. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, if I get that right, which is in Injida. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Somebody became a nobody real quick, didn't he? When things went south on him, when the armies were coming after him, lots of times we won't do much. We'll get complacent. We'll get, comfortable. We'll just come into the house of the Lord and we'll just sit. We went to Rolling Hills this morning. Told you that already. Got to feeling pretty good. Just had to just to go to the back of the house. We're sitting in the back anyway. That wasn't good. But, sitting back there, big crowd. But I had to stand back there for a little while. And I thought for sure I was going to get out of there without saying anything. And no, I didn't. And so the Lord can get on you sometimes. He became a nobody quick. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I wonder how many times we do that. Individually, but also as a church, as a people. How many do we come together? How many times do we come together and ask help of the Lord? I tell you, I appreciate you, Hilltop. I've been here lots of times. I get that feeling I'm not saying everybody, but the majority, seemingly, is on the same page, and that just does my heart good, I come to encourage you really tonight. Keep it up, but if you ever get to thinking, hey, we're good, we're somebody, boom, I'm going to tell you, you're going to hit the floor. You will. And Jehoshaphat, he hit it, and then the rest of them, and Judea, it said they came together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord. I don't know how they got the word out, but if they hollered or called or sent messengers or whatever, they spread the word around. We're going to have a meeting, and everybody come for the purpose for seeking God's help, and I'm telling you, it made a difference. It made a difference. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "Oh Lord God of our fathers," I like this. Anytime you see somebody praying in the scriptures, it's good, isn't it? I wish some of our officials would pray openly, talk to the Lord about things. I tell you, folks, we're in a mess. And we're in dire straits, and if things don't give or change, if the Lord don't send some help, I'm telling you, what do we have? I believe it's going to be gone. And you know why that is? Because somebody has become a nobody in thinking that there's something, and we need the Lord's help. And that's what the bottom line was. They needed the Lord's help. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might?" You know what? I feel so weak sometimes. That little song they sang, it picked me up, And sometimes in my mind, I hear them singing. I'm not that good of a singer, but I hear them singing. And it cheers me up. But he's got power. I believe it was Brother David. It might not have been this last Tuesday, but it seemed like it was a week ago Tuesday. But he was talking about on the Sabbath. Y'all remember this, those that were here, I guess. And about that God didn't need to rest. And he said he didn't even tap into his strength or his power. That just stuck with me, And it's just, wow, that's great, isn't it? Just to know, just he's got it all, He does. And he prayed, and Jehoshaphat come to his senses and realized, hey, we need help, and he's got it, And I'm telling you, I've said it before, I'm satisfied. There's a plug over there, but it's good. It's juice right there. But if you don't go over there and stick a plug in, you're not going to get any benefit from it. It's just there for the waiting, for the wanting. And he said, "In thine hand is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Boy, I tell you what, that's rich right there. If we realize that we need his help, if we realize that without him we can do nothing. Do you know that scripture? Without him we can do nothing. And when you feel that way, you feel like a nobody. I do. I feel weak. And when I begin to pray and ask for help, and he said, they built this place so you might have placed your name in this house. And when we cry unto thee in our afflictions, thou wilt hear and help. The scripture said that he's an ever-present help in time of need. You see, I still believe that. And there's a need today. And I know some of you, most of you here tonight know that. How about we got to begin to pray and ask for his help and let him make us somebody. You know, again, I appreciate you here at Hilltop. But not to give you the big head, but you're well known for spiritual services, spiritual preaching. Hey, that's good. Don't get the big head and think you're something, though. You know, but just keep it up. Depend upon the Lord. And you know, if nothing else, I'm hoping I'm here with a syringe and boost you tonight. I just give you a little booster shot, in the arm. Keep you going. That's what we all need, whether we realize it or not. Hopefully it won't take something tragic or the old devil getting on us to make us realize that. But it did in this case, but it worked in the end. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. You know what he was saying? They come to get us. We didn't do them no harm when we come out of Egypt or thy people, but now they turned against us. I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes I feel like I live in a strange land. I don't know if I could call this home as it was once, how I defined it, because it seems like a strange place. You see, I see so much sin and iniquity abounding all around us. And the only hope that we've got is that the Lord would allow us to see that we're nobodies. I'm telling you, we can't fight against these political things that are going on ourselves. We're outnumbered. You see, they've got the upper hand, we might say. But God's still in control. He's still on the throne. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. Lord God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. They knew where to go. He knew where to go. It took him a bit to get there. He had to stumble around, but he got there. He knew, he realized he needed some help. And he said, our eyes are on you. If we'll keep our eyes focused on the Lord, and it's hard to do, I'll be honest. If you look to the right or to the left, sometimes, you'll get off course. There was an old man in his 80s, I guess, when I grew up, drove an old beat-up pickup truck. But if you ever met him going down the road driving, you'd better take to the ditch, because he was over here and he was over there. And just about every time, he'd be over in your lane or on your side. And he'd run you plumb off the road. That's where we're at sometimes, I think. Just all over the road. And we need some help. Realizing I can't do this. I can't do this, Lord. We need your help. All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There they was. Helpless, hopeless, you might say. They felt that way. I guess if you had three or four nations coming after you, and they didn't have the warfare we have today, to fight with. It was physical battles. And you see three or four nations coming at you. I tell you what. I'd humble down too. Quick. I've had adversities to come, afflictions and things in my lifetime. I get a little scared. And then I begin to pray, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And when my prayer gets close enough, he hears my prayer. He always sends some relief. And lets me know I've got this. Man, that's a good feeling too. Well, there they stood. I've said this before. There they stood, but he said they had their wives and their children. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking they're holding hands. I don't know about how y'all feel about it, but, there they was, holding hands, asking the Lord for help, just a pitiful sight. But God, he was on it, was he not? That power, that might. And he said, there they stood. 14th verse, this is good. I hope I can get this old boy's name right. Then it said, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeruel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here was this guy. If I had asked you who he was, Jehaziel, a lot of people wouldn't have known him. There's a lot of people in the Bible that it's not mentioned that much. Maybe just one time. Some people are not called by name. You know that. A bunch of them wasn't. But they were still somebody, you see, and they did great work. I was thinking about the woman at the well. I don't think it ever mentions her name by name, but she did a great work. She went from nobody. Those Samaritans, the scripture said they had no dealings with the Jews, they were outcast. They were nobodies. But that one in particular, she became somebody. When she met the Lord at the well, did she not? I can just see her. In my mind, I'm thinking of a younger lady, but maybe not have been. But anyway, not an old lady for sure. But when she got that drink, that spiritual drink, it says she left her water pots. That tells she left in a hurry. She had something. Better than that physical water, didn't you? And I love this all the time, but it's good every time I hear it or preach on it, And she runs back to town, probably rejoicing. And I don't know, if she met anybody on the road or not, but there's been a few times when I might be out working somewhere and just feeling good. People say, well, you're whistling today. You feel good. Yes, sir, I do. Opens up a door sometimes, I've been talking to the Lord, or I've been singing to myself, or something good, has happened. She goes back and she says, come see a man told me whatsoever I did. She didn't care if they knew, did she? The Lord had already forgiven her of those things. I've done some things, and if I told y'all, y'all probably just say, oh, man, why would he do that? Why would he think that? But you know what? Bottom line is, I've got forgiveness for it. And if you find out about it, you come to me, I'll have to confess if it's true. But it's okay. Isn't that a good thing? He can take me, nobody, and make somebody out of me. And you... You got to be careful when you throw rocks when you live in glass houses, they say. The scripture said that what she told them, some of them came out of the city and went to the well. That little nobody who he made somebody was doing his work. And they said that they believed her. They believed her. I tell you what, I'm a believer, and I believe that Jehoshaphat, I know he was a good man, but when you see God work in your lives like he's doing here, it makes you believe, does it not? And he called on this little young man. Goes back, give his lineage there. Jehaziel, and it said in the 15th verse, he said, hearken you all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, and you be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but it's God's. You know what he had? He had the message, did he not? Jehoshaphat was praying, the king, but he didn't get the answer directly, but it came indirectly through Jehaziel, who was a nobody, but God made him a somebody, a messenger unto everybody, the whole country, king and all. God can take the least. When I ran over there, when Paul was talking about the whole body there, and one part saying, we don't have any need of you. I can't say to the ear and vice versa. We all need each other. And he didn't realize it, but he needed that little old boy. He needed him, and God sent him. You know what? I believe the Spirit, it said, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I believe he was all over Jehaziel. The Spirit. I look at You, I'm looking at Barry right now because he's smiling, but you know what? Out there somewhere, you're not might be smiling on it. The Spirit may not be on you like it is when you come into the house of the Lord. It could be, but you know what? There's a difference about our countenance when the Lord's on us. You get in the Spirit. Tell me, how does that feel? What does it do for you? I'm telling you, if you're nobody and feel that way, it'll pick you up in an instant. You know what? That's the way it is for me because I'm shy, basically. And I want to sit in the back of the house, and I want to keep my mouth shut until the Lord gets on it. And then you have to do something, don't you? You know what? You know what I really would like to see. I would love to see the Lord get on people more. I really would. Me too. Too much of the time we come in and we sit and we do nothing. That nobody takes over on us. But let me tell you, God wants us to be somebody. He wants us to let our light shine. I believe Jehaziel. I believe his face, it doesn't say, but in my mind I'm thinking he probably was like Moses when he come off the mountain. I believe his countenance was aglow. I believe they knew the Lord was on him. Regina tells me sometimes, I tell on her, she'll probably get me on the way home. But let me tell you, she said, I don't believe nothing you say except when you're preaching. Because I've fooled around fooling this too long. But when the Lord's on it, it's different, is it not? There's something about that. Jehaziel, he had it. And he said, the message was, don't be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed. For the battle's not yours, but it's God's. That was a shot in the arm, you know what? I could just see old King Jehoshaphat standing over him, probably amazed, thinking, here this old boy is. He's in the Spirit, and he's got it. And he's telling us not to be afraid, and let's go fight. I tell you what, that would be encouraging, you know. But I tell you what, I think we need a battle cry this day and time like none other. We're in a battle, spiritual, but we're in a battle. And it's hard, it's tough, and I hope tomorrow we all wake up and think, hey, here we go. I want to be somebody today, Lord. Give me opportunity. How many times do I, every morning when I get up and say, Lord, give me something to do today. Shame on me, honey, it's far and few between. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. He not only had the message, don't be afraid, let's go fight, but he had directions, did he not? He knew, God told him where they were coming from. What angle? He said, go down by the brook there, and here they come. God is good. Sometimes he don't tell you everything, but sometimes he'll make it pretty plain, that's what he done for them. And he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Same thing Moses said to the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt, was it not? Get down there, crossing the Red Sea, no way out. Don't you know they was ready to give it up? And nobody was able to fight against Pharaoh. They thought they didn't have to. God was there. We're not alone in this battle. He is our pilot. Used to see bumper stickers that said, God's my co-pilot. I hadn't seen one in a long time, but he's the pilot. I'm sitting over there in the passenger seat. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Fell. That tells me he hit his knees or hit the ground, at least. I tell you what, when God does something for us, we ought to thank him. I still recall, the 10 lepers, and only one returned and thanked him for healing him. That's probably about the percentage or maybe less today. You know, I see a generation of people, young folks, I'm for you, I really am. And I'm not talking about none of you here because, you know, I know your background. But we're living in a society where we've got people coming on that are so unthankful, so ungrateful, no respect for themselves or anybody. And the only way that's going to get better is if the Lord will help us. To lay down some facts, to teach them better. Sometimes I think I don't know where to start. Let me tell you, just one-on-one. Just one-on-one. You know what? I learned that the hard way. There's a lot of things we just need to take one step at a time. Sometimes I think I'm taking baby steps, but just one step at a time. You know what? I have had to preach 3 times in a day. I guess y'all have too, you know, down at the taping or something on the radio or whatnot. I'd get so worried about it. You know, how can I get 3 messages in my head? I can't even get one most of the time. But how can I study for 3? And you know what the Lord told me? I just as plain as day. He said, well, don't do that. Just take them one at a time. It works, You might say, I don't have but an hour between time. Isn't he good? You know what? It don't take him an hour to get a message to you. You're talking about a hotline, You're talking, about all this tech stuff, how fast it is, Facebook and all that, boom, there it is. He's faster than that. He's good. I like to stay with him much as I can. Listen, it goes on. I ain't going to quit on you just yet. And it said, and the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They begin to praise the Lord. You know what? When we have a good service, when you get to shouting around, boy, I tell you what, and that's something I hope we don't lose, is that shouting. You know, you maybe say, I can't shout. Maybe you can't. But if you really want to, you know what I believe? I believe the Lord can open that up for you. You all believe that? Not so that you'll think you're somebody, but that he'll make you somebody. Maybe he'll make you a greater witness. If he can open up a womb that was barren, what couldn't he do that spiritually? Why couldn't he do that? If we want to grow, if we want to feel that much spirit upon us, why can't he give it to us? I believe he can. I know he can. He'll do it for you. If you just ask him, I'm telling you, he said it's a blessing. He said he had a whole storehouse. He could just open up a window and pour it out on you. Have y'all ever gotten wet spiritually? Now, I know most of them have been caught out in the rain, haven't we? And if it's real hot, it feels pretty good for a little bit. But if it's cold, it'll freeze you to death. But you ever got caught in the rain? I tell you what, it's a pitiful sight if I get caught in the rain. My hair will curl up like it's just natural curly. But it'll just shrinkle up, And I look pitiful. And I'm ashamed for anybody to see me. And to be honest with you, I have to shampoo my hair every day, whether I shower or not. I do. But let me tell you something. Have you ever been wet spiritually? He just poured out on you. It speaks of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, about the dew, falling on you. You know what? If it's a blessing, it's refreshing, That's the reason why I love to go to the house of the Lord. It's so refreshing. I tell you what, just does me good. I told you on the way over here, I said my mouth's dry as cotton. And it was. And still a little bit that way. But on the inside, I wish I could just tell you how that it feels to know that it's there inside of me. Filling me up. And he said, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, if I'm getting that right. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. That was the key. That was the key to it, right? Believe in him. Amen. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now listen to this, 22nd verse. And when they began to sing and to praise, Jehazel told him, said, you don't have to fight this battle. God's got it. I said, a few weeks ago, they didn't even take a stick with them. You know what? He went up against three, four nations. They didn't take a weapon one. They didn't need it. It's funny how Jehazel, his lineage goes back to Asaph, who was, I guess you say, director or overseer of the music in the day. He had that lineage, you know. He probably was a pretty good singer, himself. But Joseph had appointed singers. And he said, go out and praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. That was the song, looks like to me, that they were supposed to sing. Just lift his name up, you see. You know what the Lord said one time? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Isn't that what he said? Amen. If we'll just lift him up, if we'll just praise his name, if it's through song or through a testimony, whatever that it is, you see, if we'll just do that, you know what? He'll make us to be from a nobody to a somebody, and not only people's eyes, maybe, now goodly, not bad, but that they would know that there's something different about us. No wonder the Apostle Paul said we're a peculiar people. We're different. We're not to be like the world. We're just different. I want to look different somewhat. And he said and they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And then the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You know how they were smitten? For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They killed each other. Well, if you go on down, he said, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked up unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. All they were doing was singing. But God had the battle, did he not? In chaos, it's crazy, isn't it? Look at our country. It's in chaos. And we're destroying the nation that God helped us, our forefathers, to build. Being destroyed before our eyes. You see, why? Because we thought we were somebody. We thought we would handle this and every nation fear us and we were on top. And then boom, God's back, got us back down to where we're on the downward slide and we're nobody without God's help. You just look and you just wait and you just watch. I'm not a prophet. But if things keep going, it's not going to be the country we always knew. You know, it just frets me so. Not for me, but for those coming on behind me. It really does. And he said they destroyed one another. They come in there, and they were all dead bodies falling, and none of them escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. It was, in a sense, a spiritual battle, but it was physical, too, you see. And God blessed them. And they didn't have to do nothing. Took them 3 days to gather all that stuff up. I don't know how many there was, and I don't know how much stuff it was, but it took a while, didn't it? There again, he said, I can pour it out on you. And he meant it. I believe he can still do it. I said he's our only hope, and he is, but I still believe that he can turn this thing around. Amen. If we would find ourselves coming off our high horses and begging God for mercy, I believe he'd hear our prayer. I know he would. He's heard too many prayers for me already in my lifetime. And he's still got the same ear open. You see, and he's still on the throne. And he can do that. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the valley of Baracha unto this day. And then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. I tell you what, there's no joy like him giving you joy. Some things bring us pleasure, but it's no, not the same. Boy, I tell you. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries which they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Now, everybody would like for it to be a little more peaceful, wouldn't we? I'd like for it to settle down. You know, I didn't know till this morning, but there was 10 killed in California last night, I think they said. Another mass shooting. Happens all the time. All around us, pretty close sometimes, you know. Isn't that just fearful to think about? I mean, in one way, from the flesh, that people are that way anymore? You go downtown Nashville. Used to, I heard years and years ago, police officers wouldn't go in parts of New York City. You know what? There's places in Nashville they don't want to go. And they won't go until they figure whatever's going on is just about quit. I don't blame them. You know? That's the day in which we live. He's our only hope. Amen. Well, he can make somebody out of us. And I hope he does. I guess that's it. I don't know. I never know when to quit. And I don't know if you got anything out of it or not. Maybe you did. But if you didn't, maybe the Lord will get you by till the next message comes along. How's that? But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come tonight. I just felt good about things.
Amen.
There it is. Love you.